Have you ever been stuck in a rut in this business? Have you ever struggled to close deals? Did you ever have a dry spell? Did you ever just have a shitty day, shitty week, shitty month, shitty year as a real estate agent? I bet you have. And if you haven't, that means you haven't been in this business long enough. However, just because you have some rough times and some rough patches does not mean that that needs to be the theme of your career. Today, we're talking with Katie Clancy, the chief house hawker at the Cape House at William Ravis. She is the happiest person in real estate. You're going to see why today, and you're going to hear her story of how she went from hitting absolute rock bottom to being the happiest person in real estate, selling over $30 million a year in sales, and enjoying the shit out of life.
The Massive Agent Podcast, with lead generation tips and strategies to get you more leads and sell more homes.
I love to buy houses. I like to sell houses.
It takes brass balls to sell real estate.
Wait a minute.
The leads are weak. You're weak.
I've had better.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Here's your host, Dustin Brome.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 168 of the Massive Agent Podcast. I am your host, Dustin Brome. I am the co-founder of the Industry Syndicate Podcast Network, the Massive Agent Daily, and the Massive Agent Society. You could check those out all at their .coms. You know, just put in the name, plus .com, and check it out. I am a real estate agent in Salt Lake City, Utah, have been an agent for over 10 years now. And if you're new to the show, this is a show to help you sell more homes and enjoy your life. Okay, have a more profitable business, have a more enjoyable lifestyle so that you're not getting burned out, so that you're not struggling forever, because that sucks. This industry, being a real estate agent, could be the best career ever. But it's not easy. It's not going to fall into your lap. You've got to make some changes. You have to do some things intentionally. And so the conversation today, I think, is going to be a big help for some of you guys. Even if you feel like you're happy, you enjoy your career, there's always some stuff we can do to enjoy it even more. And so I'm bringing on one of my good friends, Katie Clancy. She's an agent in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. She is the chief house hawker at the Cape House at William Ravis, and the happiest person in real estate. And that's not a joke. Okay. First off, Katie is hilarious. If you've ever heard her on stage at Inman or at any other real estate conference, she's hilarious. She really knows her shit. She's also been through a hell of a lot. And that struggle, as you'll hear today, that struggle has really helped her know what it's like to be happy and know how to be happy in this business. Because it's rough. Like, especially right now when there's like two homes to be sold for 2,000 people, you know, it can be tough. But it doesn't mean we have to be unhappy. And I think this is going to be a great interview, a great conversation. And we're going to get tactical about some stuff you can do to actually sell a bunch of homes, which she does, but also to be happy. All right. Happiness is a journey. It's not just something that you just happens to you. You have to work at it, I believe. Even if you're a naturally positive person, naturally optimistic, you still have to work at it, especially in this business, because this business is brutal. But it doesn't mean we have to hate it. We can enjoy it. We can have an amazing career. We can attract amazing clients to work with and have a blast. But it starts with perspective and knowing how to craft and build such a lifestyle. So really excited for the interview today. Couple quick things before we get started. The Massive Agent Clubhouse, what's it called? The Clubhouse Club is now up. Okay, so every Friday afternoon at 11 a.m. Mountain Time, okay, that's 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, we do the Massive Agent Mastermind on Clubhouse, okay, and now we have a Clubhouse Club called Massive Agents. Go join it, go follow me on Clubhouse, scroll down to the very bottom where you can see the clubs I'm a part of, then you can find the Massive Agents Club. Make sure you join that. We're going to be doing some exclusive stuff within the club that you have to be a member in order to access. So if you're on Clubhouse, go join the Massive Agents Club. Super excited about that. Just launched it a couple days ago, and that's going to be fun. Then make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. This is one of those episodes that if you can, there's some visual stuff near the end. Katie's showing some, she's like, let me share my screen. Like, you know, like, okay, Katie, because we're on a Zoom. And she shares it. And because of our YouTube channel, you can actually see the shit she's talking about and pointing to. So this and other episodes are on the YouTube channel. Every episode moving forward will be on YouTube. aside from last week when totally screwed up, crashed my computer. I've since fixed it, but didn't have video for last week's episode, which is kind of a bummer. And then on a personal note, I've been kind of hitting this ceiling in my business, right? In my career. And I don't feel like it's skill related or talent related or anything like that. I feel like I have some mental block that's preventing me. I know there's something internal. There's some mental block or some ceiling that I've set for myself subconsciously that's preventing me from really exploding into success, you know, whatever that means to me. And so I know that mindset is huge in this business especially. And this is so perfect for today's interview about, you know, how to be happy, like how Katie became the happiest person in real estate. But I am about to start. So as of the day that I'm recording this, on Monday, Monday, March 8th, I'm starting a 21-day mindset coaching challenge. I'll be talking more about it. I don't want to say anything more than that. I don't want to, you know, tell you guys to go check it out or anything because I don't know if it's any good. However, it's not just something I happened upon. If you guys remember back to the episode with John Madsen, my personal trainer, the guy who's helped me get in the best physical shape of my entire life, when he talked about how he spent, personally, he has spent over $100,000 in the last couple months on coaching. I think it was just within 1 month. He spent over $100,000 on coaching. And one of those coaches, his mindset coach, he directly attributed his massive financial success over the last year to. And so that coach, I've actually been able to join his 21-day challenge, mindset challenge. I'm really excited to dive in. I'm told that I can expect some incredible results. And as I start to go through this 21-day challenge, I'll share it with you. And if I feel like it's something you guys would enjoy or that I'd recommend you guys check out, I'll absolutely do that. But right now, I just wanted to announce it. I just clicked checkout on the coaching program. And so I'm about to start it tonight and really excited for the next 21 days. All right, let's get into the episode with Katie Clancy, the chief house hawker, How incredible is that? Thank God she didn't use the word wizard in her title like every goddamn dork on LinkedIn does. They're the chief house wizard or, you know, she's the chief house hawker, which is awesome. She hawks the shit out of homes at William Ravis, at the Cape House at William Ravis, Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Katie Clancy, the happiest person in real estate, one of the funniest people in real estate, my good friend. Let's do it. All right, guys, I'm here with Katie Clancy, the happiest person in real estate, and you're going to find out today why that is. Katie, welcome to the Massive Agent Podcast. How the hell are you?
You know how I am, Dustin. I'm happy.
True. Stupid question, right? Like worst day ever, right?
No, I'm not. No, we'll talk about what happy actually means and how happy doesn't mean a constant state of glee and giddiness. But I am pretty good. I'm sweating the whole lack of inventory thing. That is a universal struggle for us, but I'm finding ways to take advantage of this time, actually. So I'm good.
There you go. Yeah. It's funny how many agents have already quit the business. They're like, this is hard. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's hard, but here we are. We'll talk about some stuff that might help. But yes. Katie, you and I go way back like 4 or 5 years. Did we first meet on Snapchat?
It was definitely a Snapchat, SnapPak situation.
Yes. Yeah. So I wrote my first Inman article January 2016, and that's when I kind of built this network of other agents and, you know, a lot of us became fairly close, you being one of them. So yeah, that was 2016-ish.
Definitely.
Crazy.
Yeah. And actually I like reached out to all of you guys. I think it was, probably Katie Lance seems to be my Kevin Bacon, but like she I think how I got hooked up with all of checking out you guys. And the SnapPak, I think I Googled who should I follow on Snapchat.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
And a bunch of you guys showed up. I'm like, all right, I don't know, let's do this. And I was like, oh my gosh, these are my people. You know, I like into it.
See that right there. That's something that really, really helped me when I was first starting with Snapchat. Is I got on some of these lists. Like you guys listening, you can write an article like this if you want to grow your following, within the industry, within your community, whatever, write an article for your blog about top real estate professionals or top small business people, top whoever on Instagram or on LinkedIn to follow and humbly include yourself as one of them. But, and then everyone else on the list, they're going to share the shit out of that too. And that can really help jumpstart your following and networking. It's great.
It's awesome. Yeah, obviously.
Absolutely. So Katie, I really want to talk about your journey in real estate, because I've been an agent for 10 years. I've seen some ups and downs for sure. I know you have as well. And I want to hear about those, all the intimate details, Katie. Don't leave a single one out. No. I think you've arrived at this place where you call yourself the happiest person in real estate at a time when there's so many that are, we joke about it, but they're leaving the industry because they just can't do it anymore. And it's hard to be happy when you're struggling. You don't have any income coming in. It causes all sorts of hell within your personal life, within your family life. So I think this is a very timely episode. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Absolutely. So I'm going to give you the whole ugly story because I think a lot of people are probably suffering right now. And suffice it to say, I have not always been the happiest person in real estate. I started in real estate in 06, quite smugly, I might add.
Smugly.
I was a teacher and I was like, I'm a sucky employee. I don't like punching someone else's clock. I'm going to do this real estate thing. I knew you needed to kind of ease into it because you don't just hit the ground and make $1 million. You got to, have your whatever, something going on. So I kept my day job for a year. Blah, blah, blah. I had all these great plans. I had my kids all in school because I knew I couldn't handle both of those. That'd be crazy. And my husband's business was going great. I just planned it so well. And then literally within months, the world fell apart. I got pregnant. So there I am. I've got this, going to have a baby. So much for getting the kids all in school. All three of them. Now I had four. Well, the fourth on the way had her. Okay, we'll be fine. That'll be fine. We'll be okay. The economy started to crumble. With it took my husband's business. We started to not be able to pay our bills really well because I'm like, oh well, we'll be okay, and I'm like, no, we're really not okay. Sooner or later my day job ran out, so did my benefits. So we're trying to find health insurance. We've got an infant and three kids, and things started to get really tense. Talking about some hell in your personal life, like our home life started to get real bad, and we were just not getting along. And I joke now that if we could have afforded it, we would have gotten divorced. we did the math. We're like, God damn it. We can't even get divorced. This is terrible. So we're both in this just shitty period of life. Nothing's going well. We're not talking to each other hardly, just enough to get pregnant one more time. One more time. So here I've got three kids, a newborn, no money, losing my house. By the way, two times I went through near foreclosure, and I'm having another baby. And we laugh about, we know how that happens. We do know how that happens. Happen to know exactly when it happened because that's about how often it was happening at that point. But in all seriousness, this was not good timing. And we were like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? But whatever, we're decent people. So we're like, you know what? Every baby's a blessing. Sally forth. Let's do this. We told our family, waited as long as we could because they were like, okay, so you're borrowing money from us and now you're having another baby that you can't even fit your whole family in one car. Okay, that's smart. Like, we were mortified that we had gotten ourselves in this pickle. It was just really, really tense. And we're getting into Christmas and I still haven't bought Christmas presents. I barely had a tree. I mean, like, no money. And we found out the baby's really sick. And we lose the baby right before Christmas, very late in the pregnancy, very traumatic for everybody. I didn't want to talk about this, but I think it's important to talk about it because I felt so low and so lost and so desperate for anything. Like, I was so sad, and I am a naturally pretty happy person. But I was like medicated and not feeling really good at all. And I hit such a low, which now I look back was, you know, a good thing. I would not wish it on my worst enemy, but you hear about people talk about like, you know, I hit bottom, and I could not get out of my own way. I couldn't solve my own problems. I couldn't sell a fucking, can I say that?
This is the Massive Agent Podcast, Katie. Let her rip.
Yes! I couldn't sell a fucking house. I hated real estate. I hated what it was all about. I didn't like who I was when I was doing it, but I had no other marketable skills. I was not going back. I had 100 kids. Like, whoa, what can I do? You know? So I said, all right, well, I can't figure out my own problems. So, and I had started going to church at that time. Now, I'm not telling everybody they have to go to church or whatever, but I was out of answers. So I'm like, okay, big guy, what you got? And so I'm like, all right, great. You take it. You take this problem. I can't figure this out. And I was like, started paying attention, and they were like, oh, you know, go. Jesus loved everybody. I'm like, why? People are terrible. Such a chip on my shoulder. But I was like, whatever, I'll try it. I'll just try being nice to people. I'll try to be a blessing to other people. I'll try to help other people on a small level with their problems, because God knows I can't figure out my own. So I took this weird little thing, like, I will be a blessing to other people. And I was like, well, I guess I'll start with the person who I am the meanest to, and that would be my husband. And I just stopped being I was a little less mean to him. And I was like, well, he doesn't suck as much. And then I was gentler with my kids, and there I was like, well, I guess they're not awful. And I was like, whoa, my life started to get a lot better. I was like, oh, what if I just started being nice to all those awful people I have to try to do business with? What if I wasn't awful? What if I didn't try to sell them stuff, and I just tried to make their day better? And this philosophy was the beginning of me pulling myself out of depression, divorce, destitution. It really was the thing that turned me around and headed me into this conviction that holding that philosophy was the only way to go. So I went from praying to just, please let me close $5 million in 1 year, and then I can pay most of my bills, and, you know, what, maybe we'll stay afloat. Till I did $30 million last year. I am a top 10 units in my company for the state of Massachusetts. Like, I'm a badass. I've won all these awards. It's crazy. And it's all based in this philosophy. So I realized that I could do business differently than I had been taught. And I could do it in a way that not only felt right, but made a ton of money, mm-hmm. good money now. And it just filled me instead of drained me, instead of sucked the life out of me. It gives me life. I love what I do because of the way I do it. So now I'm the happiest person in real estate. And my goal is to make real estate the happiest industry in the world. And I have some ideas about that. Unless you have a question, I'm just going to keep rolling.
I do have one question, but I absolutely want to come back to that. When you were, well, it's interesting, but not surprising that the shift was internal. It was not some external, like, I need a new lead gen source and that's going to change everything around. Like, you know, like buying Zillow leads changes your life, you know? It wasn't that. It was an internal decision. But was there like a pivot point? Do you remember like an exact moment or an exact day, or was it more of a gradual thing?
It was not quite one day, but it was a sort of short period of time where it dawned on me, like, well, what if I just started to be a blessing? And seriously, it was probably a church where, like, oh, love everybody, no matter what a jerk they are. I'm like, why would you do that? And I was like, wait, that sounds way easier than trying to figure out which ones are the jerks and which ones I should be nice to. Well, I should be nice to everybody. And I'm going to do that. So it was kind of a moment sitting there, but I developed my actions over like the next few weeks and started changing then. But yeah. It was over about a week or so.
Still, you know, in the grand scheme of your life, that's a very short period of time.
I didn't have a lot of options at that point. It was bad.
Right. I'm just curious because I know what it was like when I was nearing my rock bottom. Did you consider leaving the real estate industry?
Or did
you
even?
You did.
Oh, okay. God, yeah. Oh, yes. I was like, this is horrible. Yes, I was like, I'm going to go, I don't know, try to go be a nurse or something. Because I knew I liked people at that point. But I'm so glad I didn't do that. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Like, I have right. that right now, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I absolutely considered leaving. But that was part of my depression. I was like, what the fuck else am I going to do?
Right.
Like, I had to figure out how to make this work because I basically burned all my ships. Like, So here I am.
Continue with the story you were telling because about making the industry one of the happiest professions out there.
No, not one of the.
Oh, the absolute happiest. I like it.
Yeah.
I support it. I'm here for it.
People sort of chuckle when I say it, but if you think about it, what we do is we are with people at one of the most vulnerable moments of their lives. Mm. We are with them at a crossroads. It's usually driven by biology, birth, death, you know, or just life cycle stuff, marriage, babies, divorce. When people's guard are down, and regardless of the outcome, we have the ability to be such an important Sherpa or guide, partner, midwife. I actually put it along like birth, buying or selling a house, a lot like having a baby. Like, you know that on the other end, you know that all you can picture is the end product. You're like, this is going to be great. We're going to have a baby. We're going to buy a house. We're going to sell a house. And you're aware vaguely that there's some complicating things that happen in between, and it can be messy and emotional, but whatever. You're like, until you get into it, you're like, oh my God, this is really hard. This is really scary, really stressful. But if you can hold them through that time and really be with them for that stress, for those changes and challenges, or better yet, head most of it off, no matter what the outcome, even if it ends up hard, they knew that you were there with them for the whole thing, and you will be up there with the way you think of like whoever officiated your wedding or delivered your babies. Like, those are people that are like, get places of honor in your life. That's right. Where we belong if we do our job right. And that's how we can get there. But recently, but we're actually not even close to there. We have elevated levels of depression, suicide, divorce, and substance abuse in our profession. And we joke about it, but go to one sales conference, go to one big industry event, and you will see much of that happening. we aren't a real healthy mentally.
Yeah, the 6 hour long happy hours that are every day.
But also, I mean, mental health is a huge issue in our industry, and only recently have people started to talk about it. I actually, on my podcast, interviewed Chelsea Pites on her challenges, and she was like completely transparent about her challenges. And as I'm seeing more and more people talk about it, which is awesome, because it takes the stigma away from it. It's such a almost universal issue. Even if it's just like for me, mine was a phase in my life, but it was dark. And I felt very alone. And I would have loved to have known someone else who was going through it and not feel like I was the only one.
Right.
But anyway, we're doing rough. We're not really doing that great. And part of it is, I think there is a root to all of our suffering in real estate. There's a root to all of our problems. And it's being exposed right now in sort of today's, you know, it's been happening for the past 10 years. But the root of all our problems is the fact that we look at our job, and we are trained for our job to be find as many strangers as you can and get them to give you their money. That's not about what you do for them. You do what you have to do to get them to give you the money. Yeah. And I know I'm sounding really cynical, but if you've ever referred to a human being as a lead or a, you know, you talk about putting them into a funnel, you have objectified people and you have lost sense of who they are. Now, listen, you've got to figure out how to manage your large group of people that you know, that you are friendly with, that you might one day do business with. You have to have a database and you have to know where people are in their process, and you don't need to use stupid euphemisms to, you know, avoid saying, you know, offensive words, you know, to objectify people. But you gotta keep in your head that these are people with moms, dads, babies, lives, jobs, feelings, fears. stressors, and you're in charge of all of it. Like you have a huge responsibility with these people. So we have three things that are going on right now in our industry that are big problems. And it's because of the way we look at the way we've always been taught. And it's a very old school way of doing business. And I know that I am preaching to the choir right now, but I'm just going to open up my little notes doc, which I should have had open before, but I shut everything because I'm always afraid I'm going to end up on a podcast interview and it'll be like, ah!
Yeah, the buffering. Yeah, the yeah. Zoom glitches.
Exactly. So I apologize, but I want to keep this up open here.
No problem.
So three big things. One is burnout. Two is the loyalty gap, which showed up at which I first sort of bing at the last Inman and Disruptor. So burnout. We know that strangers don't want to be cold called. They don't want to be converted. They don't want their objections handled, and God knows they don't want to be dripped on. And if
right. It's true.
I don't want it. And it feels
don't
gross.
Don't drip on me. No.
But it feels gross when we know we're doing it. We're like, hi, my name's Katie Clancy. It feels gross, but we do it anyway. You know why? Because if you do it enough, it works.
Yeah.
Like it does work. You pound the phones. It's a numbers game. You right. can make it work. But it's a shallow, dirty win. And it creates this dissonance in us. And that's what wears us down. We're like, oh, I feel kind of gross doing this. Oh, I got one. Oh, but you know, nine of them hung up on me, told me to where to go and how to get there. Like I wrecked someone's day. I intruded on their day. Nobody invited me to call them there. I just kind of butted in and someone actually took me. Great. But only about 20% of the people who go into real estate actually stay. And the ones that stay, and a lot of us end up at least at one point in our lives with some major problems and we burn out and we leave. And you were talking about when it gets hard, people leave. Yeah, they do. Cause it gets hard real fast. If you're trying to do business this way all the time. The second problem that we have is the loyalty gap. We always talk about how the NAR stats, 74% of the people would use us again, but only 12% do, whatever. The number changes every year, but it's always a big gap.
Right. Huge gap. Because,
yeah. And it's because we don't stay in touch with them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And everybody's like, so that's why you should keep banging your database. It's like, but here's the thing. We don't stay in touch with them because we're afraid that they don't actually want to hear from us. But the truth is, they actually don't give a shit. They don't care if you call them or not. They're just as happy to hear from you as not to hear from you. Nobody. And the problem is we have kind of, we've been commoditized by our own commodity. We have served our purpose. What could we possibly do for them now after they've bought or sold their house? And if you haven't given them something to answer that question, what else does Katie have for me? Then you haven't done your job, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then the last piece is disruptors. So anything, if you go back to like, we've been taught to, you know, get strangers to give you money for your product or service. It's a process. It can be standardized. It can be tracked. It can be measured. And as long as you can fog a mirror, you can do it. But any of those things that could be standardized, et cetera, they can be done by an algorithm or any various sorts of tech at scale. Like for companies and industries that still rely on us mostly on cold lead conversion as their main source of customer acquisition, the sky is falling.
Yeah. Like,
you can't compete there anymore. And that's why we've got to change the same way that I changed when I hit my rock bottom. I was like, I got to start taking care of people. I got to take care of people or I'm going to lose my mind. And also I'm going to find a hard time getting business because I don't like the dirty way. I'm not comfortable with the dirty, dirty way. I'm yeah. not. Doing
story time. Right. Story time. Okay. So, Katie and I were at Agent 2021. Was that 2018? I think it was January 2018. No, maybe 2019. 2019. Yeah. We were in Miami. We're having lunch. We're sitting next to Jake Failing from Movement Mortgage. We're sitting next to a couple other people, you know, all friends. And we're talking about podcasting. And Katie, you know, happy Katie. She's like, I'm going to start a podcast. And I'm like, cool. What are you going to call it? She's like, I'll call it the Dirty, Dirty Podcast. And she was dead serious in a joking way. And I've always remembered that. I'm like, you could pull that off, Katie. You could absolutely pull off the Dirty, Dirty Podcast.
That might be that might be an episode at least of my podcast. But yeah, I don't really know where I was going with that, but it always works its way in. But yes. Anyway, yeah, but doing the business that way is dirty. It's gross. Like, it's ew, it's disgusting, it's skeevy. It's like asking someone on a date and then be like, nice to meet you. Like, I'm just not gonna, can't do that. You know, buy them dinner or something first. You know, you get to know them.
And we've changed so much as consumers too. Like, the way, what we expect as consumers, the way we expect or want to be communicated with is very different than it was 2 years ago, five years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, let alone 10 years ago, when a lot of people maybe got into this industry for the first time 10, 15 years ago, it's changed dramatically. And if you're still doing the same old bullshit that Mike Ferry and a bunch of these other dinosaurs are teaching you, you're not keeping up with the times. And strange, it doesn't work nearly as well as it did before.
I'm not going to name names right now, but there are people who are current coach guru guys that are still doing the same thing. And I think they're afraid to jump off it. They're just so afraid because they know if their people do this enough, they will get business. And so then numbers when they don't, it's a numbers game. And then when they're like, well, did you make your calls? It's like, man, I'm going to stab myself in the eye before I make another one of those calls. Like, no, I didn't make the calls. And you're absolutely right. Like, basically, since the dawn of the internet, the consumer is getting more and more power. And that's where this is at. More and more power over everything, but certainly the sales and marketing process. Like, we used to be able to keep secrets. Like, remember when the MLS, we used to be able to be the gatekeepers. And nobody wanted to put anything online. And don't even get me started on Zillow. I don't care. I really don't. We made our own bed. But consumers won't be lied to. Thank goodness we have actual protections for that. And they certainly won't be controlled. And to a great extent, they won't even be advertised to. Like, I won't. Like, it's starting with TiVo. You're like, I don't need to see that ad. Like, right. I will pay to not see ads on my apps. And so will you. And that's how this is going. The people are making the rules right now. And if we, the brands, the companies, the industries want to survive, we need to play by them. And I have some thoughts on that.
Let's dive into those thoughts, because that's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, okay, I'm sold. Like, consumers don't, especially strangers, don't want to hear from you, especially with a phone call or a goddamn knock at the door. Prepare to have a shotgun in your face if you just randomly knock on somebody's door these days. It's just, it's weird.
It's weird.
I personally never want to talk on the phone ever again. I don't want people randomly showing up at my house ever again. Mm-hmm. And I just don't. And even emails, like, at least I can unsubscribe to those, you know?
Yeah.
So what do you do then? Like, you've obviously grown your business quite dramatically. Mm-hmm. What is working?
So first, it's a mindset piece. And so I won't want to start with this. Actually, I've got three major pieces, and I've got some books here that I use for some of my resources. And one of them is, I am a huge fan of this guy.
Donald Miller, StoryBrand.
StoryBrand. Donald Miller, StoryBrand. This was when I read his book, Everything I Do and Think just went boom. He organized what I already had in my head and showed me how to make it, how to really leverage it. So in his basic idea is, you're making the customer the hero. So we're moving away from the I. I say this, I just posted like all these awards that I won. I'm like, look what I did, I'm top 10. So listen, I'm not perfect in this regard. I'm super proud of the things that I've achieved. So I don't care. But most of my messaging is about them. It's about how I make them the hero. So if you look at my Cape House Instagram, and you will have a hard time distinguishing my just sold posts from other posts, because they are about the story. They're about the cool thing about that deal or that person or that house. And it's really interesting and humanizing. So I put my customers and what they want and what their problems are right at the center of my business and what I do. So we just think of whatever their pain points, and then we jump in with like, that's what we do. We solve that problem for you. So that's number one, making the customer the hero. Number two, I have shifted. I've never actually invested heavily in the pre-sale process. So the second thing that that I did and that anybody can do is you've got to shift your focus and your investments from the pre-sale process to the post-sale process. Less emphasis on working with strangers, that's who's over here, more emphasis on working with friends who are literal friends or repeat customers or referrals. The idea is you look at your customers as your sales force. So if you're taking really good care of them after the sale and making sure that they still know what you do and they know how to give you referrals and all that good stuff, then you're not going to have to spend this investment over here is way huge, much bigger return on your dollars over here, your dollars and your time, honestly. So when I say I don't like to make phone calls, I don't mind calling my past clients and being like, how the heck are you? So right. I saw that you just got a three-legged dog. What is up with that? Tell me about it. Like, well, you know, like, and they're like, oh my God, this rescue was so cool. I'm like, my dogs are rescues too. It's not a bullshit call. It's not like I actually have a relationship with these people. I know, like, we're literally friends.
Right.
I made a point of creating that relationship during the transaction. Now, let me put a caveat to that. Do I love all of my customers? In the Christian sense, yes. Personally, no, I do not. So do I call them all back? No, I don't. You know why? Because I want to work with more of the people that I really honestly, genuinely like and have no problem calling up, hitting up, being friends with, you know, hooking our kids up, like literally making friends with. Because the more of the right kinds of people I get, that will compound itself. So don't confuse this. Like, people come sometimes when I talk to them about this, like, all right, so they still have this formulaic feeling about it. Like, no, it's a feeling, you know, it's not clean. It's a little messy and it's organic as opposed to, you know, contrived and, you know, and by nature, it's a little bit messier.
And it's also, you're coming from an abundance mindset. You know, when you have a scarcity mindset, you think that you have to work with everybody because there's not enough business to go around. You need to take every deal you can, you know, otherwise you're not going to do well. And I know what that's like. I was like that for a large portion of my career until what my mentor told me, I think it was my first month in the business. He's like, sometimes the best client is the one you never work with. Mm-hmm. And now you're talking about people you do work with and realize not my cup of tea, you know, maybe we're not the best fit, but same concept, you know, you can choose who you work with. There's plenty of people. And when you do that, your happiness, I'm sure, just started to snowball and get
that's the thing
happier and happier, right?
Yeah. My happiness compounded. And as I started to feel better, I started to make more money, not the other way around.
Interesting. Yeah.
Which I found really, you know, let me tell you, when you're finally able to pay your bills, that's a happy feeling. Like, yes. That's awesome. But like, once you can pay your bills, more money really didn't make me more happy. It was the more happiness made me more money. Cause I was like, get me at it. Like when my family, we have dinner and, you know, everybody's off watching TV or doing whatever. I'm like, I'm going to go do some more work, you know, cause I love it. I love it because I'm connecting with people I want. I'm creating things I want. I'm working in my wheelhouse, which I'll get to in a minute. But I wanted to get to the third rule here. Oh, so let me finish the second rule. Shifting focus and resources from the pre to the post sale. What does that mean? Post sale stuff is like literally calling your friends and staying in touch with them. And then if you want to get, you know, sometimes you need some systems and that's true. So then get everybody's birthday down and send them a little birthday video on Facebook. You should be having events. You should be giving away tickets to things. You should be sending presents randomly just for giggles. Shannon did the whole, she had a VIP group and she put the Starbucks card in there and she had one bad Larry go in there and steal the whole thing, which was terrible kind of people that she worked with. But
right. I remember that too. Yeah.
Right.
Very rare though.
It is very rare that you'll have someone bad like that. I love that idea where she put that $100 code for Starbucks in her VIP Facebook group and people just picked off of it. And they were like, that is the nicest thing in the world. And then, you know, they drink their coffee. They're like, thanks, Shani, you know?
Yeah, it's so easy. It sounds like you've done the same thing. I've done the same thing with past clients. You just get your Starbucks gift card, screenshot it, It's just like any other image, post it in the group, or if you don't have a group, text it to your past clients and say, hey, I loaded $100 on this card. Go get yourself a coffee and a cake pop for the kids today.
And like,
once it's gone, it's gone.
I feel like Daddy Warbucks when I do that. I'm like, right. I got so much money. Look how nice I am. Like, I feel so great giving that stuff away.
Yeah. Like you should be in Congress.
Yeah.
So much money.
No, I could never, ever run for office. Let's just put that
no, because you're actually happy. And yeah.
That's what's one of my disqualifiers, but we won't get to the others. Let's go to the third point here of the new rules. Because actually, this comes from an article I wrote called Death of a Salesman, which is coming out this month in a local publication. But anyway, you've got to get out from behind the curtain. You cannot walk around pretending that everything is hunky frickin' dory all the time or that you are perfect. You are just a human. You've got to be, you don't have to like hang your dirty laundry out, but you do need to be real and stop just having like this persona that everybody sees, because you know what? They're going to find out the truth eventually. They are. Eventually they're going to find out who you are. So when you're human and accessible, also you become relatable. And you also are less at less risk of becoming commoditized, because you're not like all the other real estate agents that are disposable and annoying. You're actually a cool person who also does real estate, which is the way to go.
And a trusted partner. You know, when you're real, when you're real, and you're happy most of the time, but you're having a bad day, you're stressed about something, or you learned something, you made a mistake, whatever. You're absolutely relatable and you become trusted. And it's very hard for people. Like, people want to have a realtor in their back pocket that they know they can count on 100% of the time, that they trust. It's when they don't have anyone that they've met like that, that's when they just keep looking for somebody else.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's our fault. It's not theirs. No, there's no such thing as buyers or liars. There's no problem with disloyalty. It's a problem with the way you do business.
Yes.
There's a cure for it. But the thing is, if people are going to take this new mindset, it is like modern sales. So traditional sales is what we just talked about, but modern sales could be described as build and maintain meaningful relationships with people whose problems can be solved with your product or your service. It's messy. It's not easily, organized. It's slow to get started. and it takes things like courage and patience, especially, to implement. I like to tell people, if you need business right now, you're in the wrong business, right? Like if you need something to happen, right? But if you refocus all of your grind to this effort, you will build a sustainable and, more important, resilient sales business. And this is true for any sales industry, especially like, I loved how Gary Vee invited real estate, auto, and who else was it?
Insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mortgage.
At
Agent 2021, yes. Because he's like, y'all are endangered species. You have to change or you're done. And, the death of the solo agent happened a long time ago. If you listen to Byron Lazine, he's like, as soon as Zillow came on, the solo agent was dead. Once you get this rolling, you will be happy. You'll work with people that you like to work with. You'll make plenty of money because you'll be able to do more business. And in fact, you'll protect the industry. You will become actually valuable and not just have your job, taken by disruptors or whatever. Yeah. Like, I'm not afraid of Zillow. I'm not concerned in the least bit.
This is perfect timing because our last episode was called We Need to Talk About Zillow, and just having a healthy respect for them, and they're doing exactly what they should be doing. And we can look to them and be like, oh, maybe we should do that too. And the fear is ridiculous. The fear of them is ridiculous. And so this conversation, what you're doing and what you do in your business, what you're talking about, is what agents can do to insulate themselves from Zillow. Right? Like, Zillow cannot compete with Katie Clancy in that's South Africa.
It's very different. Yeah. The Cape House, sure. On Cape Cod. There's just no way.
Exactly.
They don't know people at town hall. They don't know the owner over at the sandwich shop. They don't have an inn with a builder. I sleep with one. So.
Wow.
It's the massive agent, right? It's
right. Cool, right? Yeah. Total transparency here. Yeah.
Yes. I'm right now.
I think we're going to change the title of this episode now. Like,
so, now it's dirty.
Exactly, Katie. Yes, I knew we'd come around to this. What are some of the, you mentioned earlier doing events, doing, you know, gifting. What are some specific ideas of things that you've done that have been well received by your network, by your friends?
By my friends. Well, so it's resist the urge to swing for the fences. The things that have had the biggest impact are the little things that I do consistently. Hmm. The staying in touch, I have a show. I have a YouTube show with another agent here called What's Good Cape Cod.
Are you and Sarah?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You know, Sarah.
I do.
So we just talk about a person, a place, and a thing that we think people should know about on Cape Cod. And they know that we're real estate agents, but we never ask for business yet. Look at all, you would not believe the love that we get for what we do. So we are building relationships. Every week we talk about that. So you don't have to have a YouTube show, but if you do something every week, or if you, so that's, you could though. Like I highly right. recommend starting a show, either a YouTube show or a podcast to serve, to give something regularly, give your brains out. And again, you know, we're both Gary Vee fans, like jab, 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 right hook. There will be a time and a place where it's appropriate and totally natural for me to ask for business. And I will not hesitate because I have given and given and given. They don't owe me anything. Let me make no mistake. I don't feel like anybody owes me anything, but I have no problem. It's like asking, you know, if you're like, who's the last person you wrote a check to? I have no problem asking them for business, right? They've already paid them stuff for their business.
Right.
But so have a show. Do something regularly. Again, Facebook is not dead either. Facebook is still a very valuable tool. So if you send either a Facebook video message or a BombBomb message to someone, I think you should leverage, again, you can hear a theme here. You want to get as close to people as you can. And video is obviously the best way to do that.
That's right.
Right. So send a video message to someone when there's good news. You know, congratulations. Oh, I saw your son just ask his girlfriend to marry him. That was so cute. That whole like beach wedding engagement thing was just awesome. Like be there with them for their happy times and also be there with them for their sad times. I have a stack of sympathy cards. I don't like using them, but I sure don't like leaving my friends out in the cold. When something bad has happened in their life, I want them to know that I care about them. And so I send a card. I'm going to emphasize the little things and then we can talk about the big things. So the medium sized things, I have a membership. I am a patron member at our local arts foundation. That gives me like little VIP events that I can bring clients to. So I will occasionally invite a different this or that other client to come with me to like a behind the scenes to meet the conductor of the local symphony orchestra, or I'll just give them the tickets. Like, oh, go check this thing out. It's going to be awesome. Every year, I didn't do it last year because of the pandemic, but we're going to have another party. We have a big party. Oh, you know what I'm going to call it? And it's not, I know it sounds kind of KWE, but it's, I'm sorry. Can I say that? How many times have I said, can I say that?
We can absolutely say that.
Yeah. Okay. It's just, it's the Cape House reunion. Instead of the Cape House client appreciation party, the Cape House reunion, everybody gets a sticker for the year that they bought or sold with us. Some people have two or three stickers. I think that's cool. So now people are seeing like, she does a lot of business. Well, these people come back and people are like, damn right I do. And they get all the stickers. So a client party, client events, but it doesn't have to be a big one. It can be a small one. I started with nothing. And built up in, so one of the things that you can do if you really have nothing in terms of events is look at free things that are going on. Sometimes the local charity auctions, maybe sometimes it's free to get in. Sometimes it's a small ticket price, but you can get in there and at least mingle. No, maybe you don't have the money to win any bids, but you can be the first bid on everything in there. That's what I used to do. Like, I got no money. I'm going to be the first bidder on all these silent auction things. I know I'm going to get outbid, which I did, but whatever, you got to fake it till you make it.
Yeah, at least you could participate and have fun.
I did. And actually accidentally won a couple things. But you know what? I would tell you, tip, silent auctions at charity events make great shopping centers for closing gifts.
Hmm.
Yeah, because like it's usually some like local thing, so you can support local and also have this like cool mug and coffee set to give to a client.
I like that.
Yeah, that was a win-win.
So do you do any big events? Well, first off, I love that you don't call it a client appreciation party or event. Who wants to be a client, right?
Nobody. They don't even want to be a client. Like being a lead.
Right. I don't think they mind it because they know what you mean, you know, like you've worked together, but it's not something like I'm a client. Like you're not so proud to be a client, but if it's the reunion and you don't have to say family reunion, but the reunion is just like, we're getting back together. Like,
yeah.
I love that. That's a very subtle, but I think major difference in verbiage that probably has a big impact.
Oh, absolutely. For me, and like I felt, you know, that dirty, icky feeling. I always felt icky calling it a client appreciation, but I know what it's a party. It's what, like, because when you say client appreciation, those are my words. That's from my perspective. Nothing right. should be from my perspective. It should be from their perspective. So reunion was a great fit. Please feel free to steal.
What do you do? So you give thoughtful gifts every once in a while. I'm curious where you come at this from, but I used to think, well, how do I know what to get them? Well, if you just have conversations with people and listen, they'll tell you that they're a huge Chicago Cubs fan. They'll tell you that they love Florida, but they haven't been there in 20 years or whatever. Like you'll just hear little things. And it starts with just being a human, having a conversation and listening, because they'll tell you. They'll tell you what's important to them and what interests them.
Yeah. Yeah. And start listening right from the very beginning. Like all of that stuff starts from the beginning, like even negotiating, like with another agent, like you start that from the moment you meet them, you are just intake, just absorb. I'm going to need this information later. And that, yeah, for gifts, that's always a really good thing. I did that with a client. I realized that they had sacrificed a lot to get where they were. They're very good position financially, and they were buying a bodacious second home, which a lot of people do in Cape Cod. They're young. They both had, like, mom's driving carpool with a master's degree because dad is, you know, they've decided they're going to lean on dad's salary. Dad has gone to school in, you know, far off places so he could get the degree that he wants. And they're finally back near the grandparents. They've really taken a long time to get here. And you know what? Status is really important to them. And I get it. Like the thing that I see agents do, they're like, oh, it must be nice to have that. You know what? It is probably very nice. And you know what? They didn't just wake up with that money. They actually earned it. And the reason that they're buying a second home, I understood from watching them, is they want status. They don't want to look like a stranger. They want to look like they've been there their whole life. They do not want to look like an outsider. So I got them introductions. I gave them this little like scavenger hunt pack to go meet all of the important people in the village where they bought. And I, of course, gave them fun things to do when they were there. But now they knew, they're like, hi, Sarah, you know, when they're at the hair salon and Sarah's like, Becky, come on in. They know that I've sent them. And now they've got this, like, they're like a local, you know, and that's what I gave to them.
They're in. Yeah.
They're in. They were the school kids.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Katie, any last, anything else that you want to add to the conversation that you think has been left out or needs to be restated before we jump into the rapid fire questions?
Yeah, there's a couple things I want to tell people about it. Can I share a screen? You don't even know what I'm going to do.
I can. Now the podcast listeners won't see it, but.
That's right. They won't. Well,
but they can see it on YouTube.
They can see it on YouTube. So go over to YouTube if you want to see it. So absolutely. I'm just going to put on a link to, okay. So I'm going to put up a link because I've got Happy Camp is Happy Camp is in beta right now, and
Happy Camp,
yeah,
that's fantastic. Happy
Camp is we're working on this right now. So this main session electives, live calls, flash challenges, private Facebook group. We're working on this right now. You guys are getting like behind the scenes here. So there's an assessment that you take. I'm going to give you the link right here. And maybe we can put it in the notes for the podcast.
For sure.
So we're testing it out right now here locally. And here's the link. And you get 12 sessions No, we get more than that. We get a bunch of sessions, 25 main sessions, electives, everything from, and this is all in the context of working the way we just described, everything from negotiating to managing your money to all the things that you need to do to be successful. Live calls with me, private, and flash challenges. They could be anything from like drop and do 10 pushups right now, because being physically healthy is critical to being financially successful. And I know you agree with that.
For sure.
And what else do they have on there?
Oh, we'll put a link to this in the description on YouTube and the show notes, wherever you're listening to the show.
Yeah. And then I'm going to take this down. I want people to see, if you don't mind showing them my podcast, that would be cool. My podcast is the Happiest Person in Real Estate podcast. And I'm going to show you
The Dirty Dirty Podcast.
AKA the Dirty Dirty Podcast.
There you go. Yes.
These are some of the things that we do in Happy Camp. These are some of the sessions that we do. Just going to zip through them because I want to get to the...
this looks well-rounded. So rituals. You went through that pretty damn fast, Katie.
Well, let's go right back to the beginning. Then I'll start at the beginning of it because I think it's pretty awesome. So the very first thing we talk about is service. Service, grace, and effort fall into the mindset category. That's where we really lay the foundation. Talent, growth, and people are about your positioning, but sort of like where you put yourself, who do you surround yourself with, how do you grow. Body and art are sort of your personal HR. This is how you're maintaining the source that you draw from all the time. And execution is get shit done. You gotta find a way to get this stuff done in a way that makes you feel in control. And when you feel in control, you feel, say with me, happy. So these are the three sessions on service. And these are all also in the podcast. So I hit all of these in the Happiest Person in Real Estate podcast. Haven't quite gotten through every single one of them, but I've got some really cool interviews with people who've lived these things. So now getting into, this is where our positioning section, talent, growth, podcast, you guys are doing it already. People, who do you surround yourself with? And this body piece, people make this an afterthought, and I cannot tell you what a huge mistake that is. Mm. And you know, like I said, we are speaking the same language in this one. You have got to be healthy. And also this part where it's supposed to be hard, that's life, boys and girls. You do a hard thing in the gym, and then the rest of the thing you do all day won't be so bad.
So true.
Right?
It's incredible. And you don't need to be some bodybuilder. You don't need to get down to 5% body fat, but you need to be healthy. You need to move. You need to have energy. And when you do, like, it's that snowball effect, right? Like, you feel good about yourself. When you feel good about yourself and have energy, other people feel it. And it just bleeds through, and then they want to be around you rather than the opposite, where, you know, it's just crazy. Yeah. So I'm glad that it's cool to see that you have body and everything in this Happy Camp, because it's not just about getting business. There's so much to building a firm foundation that allows you to get business. The body and mind is obviously a huge part of it.
Absolutely. If not
the hugest.
Yeah. Because if you don't have the body, I mean, we've all seen real estate agents who have kind of fallen apart physically. They can't walk a lot. They can't do stairs. Like, come on. That's a whole other, we'll do another podcast.
Yeah. And we'll link to your podcast in the show notes as well. Notes for the podcast, YouTube description for YouTube.
Awesome.
Let's jump into the rapid fire questions.
Okay, let's do it. Oh, wait, yeah, podcast. Also, I have some Clubhouse invites. If anybody wants them, come find me.
You know what's funny about that, Katie?
What?
Remember, a month ago when people are like begging for Clubhouse invites, and we're like, sorry, I don't have any. And now we're all like, please, somebody take our Clubhouse invites. I have 7. I have 9. Like, somebody, please, for the love of God, take a Clubhouse invite.
And stop telling me you can't get into Clubhouse, that, because that's crap.
Yeah, well, unless they're Android, but yeah. But, you know,
they have other problems.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's hard to be the happiest person in real estate with an Android now, isn't it?
It's going to hold you back. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes. Kidding. Jeff West in Grants Pass, Oregon. I see you. All right. Rapid fire questions. Either or, you can elaborate if you'd like. But we'll just go through these. And then usually at the end, we let people know where they can find you. You preempted that.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Totally fine.
Okay. Totally fine. So now if people skip out before the rapid fire questions, they're going to find you, which is good.
Awesome.
So, all right. Facebook or Instagram?
Instagram.
Instagram or LinkedIn?
Instagram.
Books or podcasts?
Podcasts. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize to me.
Oh, yeah. I just feel guilty.
Yeah. Podcasts or audiobooks?
Oh, I'm going to go back to books and, oh, crap, audiobooks.
Okay. iPhone or Android?
iPhone. Duh.
Alexa or Google Home?
Alexa.
Burgers or pizza?
Oh, pizza.
I love how you're looking around. You're like, is Alexa going to go off?
Well, that's, I was like, Alexa.
The A word. New York or LA?
New York.
Yeah. LA gets no love for me either. Like, NFL or NBA?
NFL.
Pro or college?
The only reason I will come to peace with the end of summer is that the football season starts.
Yes, I played high school football. I played played a season of college football, injured, but love football. So fall, like I just get that feeling when fall comes around. Yeah. Love it. Pro or college?
Pro. I'm in the Northeast. Mm.
Ah, mountains or beach?
Beach. What else can I say? Cape Cod? Come on.
Have you been to Jackson Hole?
No.
Okay. Go to Jackson Hole and then I'll ask you that question again.
All right. Fair enough.
But I mean, I live in the mountains, but so I love the beach.
Yeah.
You know.
I do love the mountains. I actually went to Breckenridge and spoke a couple years ago and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I haven't been to Breckenridge, but Jackson Hole is just, that is a special, special place.
Oh, wow.
It's hard to describe. All right. Podcasts or vlogs?
Oh, you know what? Vlogs, at least, personally for producing them. I got going on my vlog first.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. YouTube or Facebook Live?
YouTube.
Rich dad, poor dad, or millionaire real estate agent?
Rich dad, poor dad. Yeah.
Works for me.
Okay.
I knew that I added something to the list. That's the one. I thought that I added like five questions, but that's the one. So there you go. You guys get a bonus one this week. Uber or Lyft?
Uber.
Gary Vee or Grant Cardone?
Gary Vee all day, every day. There's not even a question.
Every day. Yeah. Although I will say, whatever the hell Grant Cardone is doing with eXp Realty is really intriguing because I'm with eXp. It's interesting. So like,
it is intriguing. I will absolutely say that. I'm watching.
Yeah.
I'm confused, but I
don't. I also. Well. Yeah. Cool. And then what is the most impactful book you've ever read ever?
Oh, okay. So Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Is that the name of a book or is that the author's name?
It's a book that I read in high school, and I read it again as an adult, and it didn't have the same impact, but it was the first time I read something about getting out of your own limitations, getting out of your head, getting out of expectations of other people, just being yourself. Mm-hmm. And I was so young and had never thought that way before. So it was because it was the first book I read like that. It really blew my mind. It's one of those that I keep. It's also keep it with like The Alchemist or, Viktor Frankl's book. Like it's one of those sort of like real foundational books.
Yeah. Those books that I ran the other direction from in high school because I hated English.
Correct.
Hated English.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I'm like, maybe I should read some of those again.
Yeah.
I probably won't, but I probably should.
To them. I don't know how you, you can listen to them.
Good point. We do have this thing called Audible now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Katie, one more time, where can people find you on social media? And we'll put the links to your podcast, your Happy Camp and your social links in the show notes as well. But where can they find you?
Okay. So find me on Instagram at hellyeahbacon.
I forgot that was your handle. That's the best handle ever.
I was going to change it because that was my first, Baby's first Instagram handle, but I'm like, no, that's me. Like, that's get behind, from behind the curtain. I'm also, if you want to see a more, you know, restrained version of me, you'll see me at the Cape House. But Hell Yeah Bacon is a little bit more me. And Hell Yeah Bacon, the Cape House is more real estate. And everything else is the Cape House, Facebook, LinkedIn, and also at katieclancy.com.
Awesome. Again, we'll have links to all your social accounts, website, Happy Camp course, all the good stuff, podcast.
Awesome.
Maybe whenever you do launch the Dirty Dirty podcast, we'll add that to the show notes as well, whenever that happens. And we'll add it to the industry syndicate as well. I mean, it sounds perfect.
Why not?
The Dirty Dirty podcast. Yes. Katie, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You're somebody that, like, I always feel your happiness, and you're one of those people that I love talking to. I love being around, and the industry needs a million more people like you.
Oh, you are the best. Thank you so much. It was really honestly an honor to be on here. I'm very excited. I can't wait to listen and share the crap out of it and elevate anything that you're doing, because I know it's good.
You are the best, Katie. Thank you so much.
Awesome. All right. Thanks.
This was one of my favorite interviews that I've done in quite a while, because I feel like it was timely for me. Like I said in the beginning, I'm working on how to level up my mindset internally. How do I break through this ceiling that I feel like I'm hitting? You know, I'm taking a challenge. I'm about to hire a coach to work on mindset. But just being happy is attainable. Like, even though it's rough out there, it's hard, especially if you're a buyer's agent. It's a very tough market right now. But that's not going to last forever. If you can learn how to weather the storm right now and still get deals and get homes to sell right now, once it eases up a little bit and it's not so damn one-sided, imagine how great you're going to do. You're going to absolutely crush it. You're going to be happy knowing that even in the toughest market that I've seen in my 10 years as an agent, even in the toughest market, you can actually still survive and still do business and still grow. So I think this was an amazing, amazing interview. Thank you, Katie, for coming on the show. Again, go follow her on social media, especially Hell Yeah Bacon on Instagram. And do I even need to put that in the show notes? I don't think so, because how easy is it to remember Hell Yeah Bacon? I mean, I think it'd be actually difficult to forget Hell Yeah Bacon. You might even need to try to forget Hell Yeah Bacon. So go follow Hell Yeah Bacon on Instagram. All of her other links are in the show notes of the podcast, or if you're watching on YouTube, in the description. Before we wrap it up, I want to point you guys again to the resources page on MassiveAgentPodcast.com. If you're looking for recommendations on which CRM I use, or any podcasting equipment, the mic that I use, the podcast hosting platform, any other, like, what do you use type questions, a lot of the stuff that I use are over on the resources page of MassiveAgentPodcast.com. So check that out. And then make sure you join the Massive Agents Clubhouse Club. And then on Friday, every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, join us for the Massive Agent Mastermind. Don't be shy. Raise your hand when you get into the clubhouse room. Jump up on stage, start a conversation, ask a question, you know, whatever you want to talk about. We want it to be engaging. We want you guys to participate. I don't want to just talk to people. That's what this podcast is for. I want it to be interactive. And so jump into the clubhouse room every Friday. And then make sure you join the Massive Agents Club on Clubhouse. Appreciate the shit out of you guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. I absolutely love doing this podcast. I've been doing this for over 3 years now. And I've done it every single week just over 3 years. And I can't tell you what a blessing this podcast has been to my life. And I know it's been a blessing for a lot of your lives as well, which is crazy for me to say about my own show. But I mean, it is what it is. Like, I get your messages, I get your feedback, I get your comments, the reviews you leave on iTunes and everything like that. And I cannot thank you enough. You guys keep me going with this show. Like, this is hard work to do something every single week for over 3 years. It's hard work, and it costs me time. It costs me money, but I love doing it. So keep bringing those comments, keep sending me messages and letting me know what you like and you dislike, or which episodes were your favorite, and share it out. Help us to spread the word. Take a screenshot or take a link and share it with your friends in the industry. Share it with your team leader, share it with your broker in your brokerage Facebook group, whatever. Help us spread the word. And I will be back every single week with a new Massive Agent podcast, a proud founding member of the Industry Syndicate Podcast Network. Appreciate you guys. Take care. Go close some loans. Go sell some homes. Be happy. See you next week.